This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Gus Bradley with you here for the next hour. And then for those of you who are in Jacksonville or you want to listen on the web, Tony Boselli for sure is coming in. Is Brunell coming in tonight? Do you know? Jaguars Thursday?
I don't know. He might be big-timing it up at ESPN in Bristol.
There you go. Metro PCS call-in lines are open this evening, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Time to welcome in the head coach. How are you tonight, coach?
I'm doing great. It's an awesome day, you know. I wish we were still practicing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good.
Have you had a chance to catch your breath now?
You know, I did. We had some extensive meetings on Monday and Tuesday, not only with some players, but also with the coaches. Tried to meet with every one of our coaches, and some meetings were 10 minutes, some were 45, and just get some feedback. And I mean, we hit every area, scheme to leadership, and really, really good meetings. So it's, you know, real effective.
People hear all the time about the postseason meetings and the evaluations of the roster, but you guys did that all throughout the course of the season, didn't you? Did you go back and do it all over again, or did you take everything you'd compiled and just take it into this one meeting?
Well, I think what you're talking about, too, is, you know, every organization's different. You know, some organizations, the head coach and the GM might meet once every 2 weeks, maybe once every week. And where Dave and I were different, we tried to meet every day just to talk about personnel and guys off the waiver wire or picking guys up. And so now we get to the end of the season, and we just continue talking about personnel. So we didn't have a lot of catching up as far as that to do because we spent so much time during the season doing it.
When's the last time you had a cup of coffee at home?
Well, when I stay at home, I try to make one before I come in. But I like those machines. Machines that do it in about 20 seconds.
I'm
are
talking
great
about
now.
Making a cup of coffee and sitting down at the kitchen bar or table and enjoying a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, that's the first time was this week. You know, I think Christmas Day, you know, we did it too. But it's great. You know, I think you, during the season, you're caught up into it. And I mean, you just love it. You love the season and you love the competition that goes along with it. So it's hard to unwind. You know, that's what I think with Mick, my wife. She said, oh, no, he's going to try to take over the household now.
So do you enjoy the out-of-season part of it as well? I mean, you'd rather start enjoying it, you know, middle of February. But do you enjoy the evaluation part of it, the All-Star games? Do you enjoy what you're going to do for the next couple
of
months?
I do. I think, you know, because now in the off-season, I mean, in the morning you might jump into scheme, and then in the afternoon you're doing free agents, and then you might look at night, a little college free draft, and you know, then you do some leadership things. I mean, it's very stimulating because you're doing something different all through the day. And, you know, it's you're still competing. You're still competing. It's just in a different avenue.
How active will you be when it comes to personnel, free agency, college, and will this year be different than last?
Well, I think, you know, Dave's philosophy is to have us really involved. I mean, obviously, those guys are going to, you know, Dave's going to make the final decision, but with a lot of input, he's open to that. And, you know, we have our coaches involved. They've got a list of guys already before they took off for a couple days here of all the free agents. So they have to evaluate our own team and then, you know, get on schedule to get these free agents done from the NFL. So we'll be involved, and he'll ask a lot of input. And I think that's the way Shad Khan wants it too. He just feels like the more input, the better decisions you're going to make.
Speaking of your coaches, you had said at your end-of-the-year press conference with Dave that your staff will be back intact.
Right.
There's six openings right now in the league. I guess two of them have been filled. So there's going to be a lot of talented coaches that are available. Would you look to expand your staff possibly?
Well, I don't know. Dave and I, I'm sure, will talk about that after, you know, we have a couple days here. We mentioned a little bit about, you know, if it's the right situation. But, you know, I think right now what our organization, what our team needs more than anything is stability. And it just felt like, you know, our players, you could just tell we're hoping for it. And I think that's the best thing we can give to our players now is to know that, you know, there's so many unknowns in the NFL. If we can give them a few knowns, it just makes it that much better.
You know, that was the term that stood out as I was sitting in your news conference on Tuesday morning. And you too on this one, Jeff. from a scheme perspective, how much do you gain this year having the scheme installed and guys come back that knowing it? How much further ahead can you be with the players that you've got from 1 year to the next when it's the same scheme?
Well, it's a great advantage. You know, now the challenge will be, you know, we're going to have some turnover again this year, but not to the degree like we had last year. And, you know, I think that makes it beneficial. If you have your core guys and the guys, you know the offense, know the defense, and they can, you know, as soon as they can start teaching some of the other players. So when you're out there, you know, going 7-on-7, you know, the other DBs are talking to the other younger guys and saying, no, here's how you should do it. When you start seeing that take place on the sideline, then that's when you make tremendous progress.
Well, you can make so many more gains physically because you're not thinking about the mental aspect of it. And I know personally, when I was in the same scheme, you could spend 30% more time looking at the individual you would face instead of trying to figure out what I had to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's a lot to that. You know, we ultimately really want to play fast. You know, we'd like to get to the point where the defense, especially, is attacking the offense. You know, it's not really defense is a bad word. We don't want to be on the defense. We want to attack the offense. And, you know, we have to get players to play fast in order to do that. They have to understand the scheme and then, you know, have a lot of speed. And when you get all those factors together, then you can start doing that even more.
All right, the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by PRI Productions. When we come back, we'll talk about the Senior Bowl. It was announced today the Jaguars and Falcons coaching staffs will man the sidelines in Mobile. In a few weeks, we'll talk with head coach Gus about that. You can join us, 800-355-6351. This is the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling along here. The Gus Bradley Show brought to you by our friends at Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach, 800-355-6351. All right, so we've kind of known for the last few weeks that it was a possibility that you would coach in the Senior Bowl, and then the teams that qualified ahead of you don't have coaches at this moment. So you're on record saying you think it's a cool experience. What's the most important thing that you and your staff get from being in Mobile?
Well, you not only get to evaluate the players, which is, you know, the most important thing, but, you know, sometimes when you go in the Senior Bowl and you're watching practice, there's a lot of distractions down there, right, Logs? I mean, mm-hmm. There's coaches all around and media all around.
A lot of people trying to be coaches.
Yeah, and so it's hard to really give your full attention. So when you're on the field coaching, you have your full attention to all the drills. You know, you get it on tape anyway. So I think the biggest part is the one-on-one time, or to have position meetings and then team meetings and really challenge these guys. And, I mean, you can pull out any of them and talk to them one-on-one and really get a feel for how well they would fit into your culture.
Well, didn't you say that you had coached one of the Jaguars linebackers?
Yeah, Puz.
Yeah, in the Senior Bowl. And then obviously he went to Buffalo and you weren't in Buffalo. And then you come down here and here he is.
Right.
How did that experience translate to then to now?
Yeah, that's a great example because he was phenomenal. Puz was unbelievable in the Senior Bowl. I really liked him. Came back to Tampa and thought the world of him. And we did not end up taking a linebacker that year, I believe. But now to have the chance when I got the job in Jacksonville and I knew he was here, it was one of the guys I connected with right away just because of that experience.
And there are all kinds of rules that they put on you guys as a coaching staff. You can't do this. You're only allowed to do this.
Right.
Good chance of breaking them rules, maybe?
No.
Sending them all out blitz on Schmitty.
No. We're by the rules, man. By the rules. No, it really is. I mean, I think I said it on Monday in the press conference. We don't want to make a habit of it, but as long as we're in this position, then we're going to take full advantage of it. And our staff, that's one of the reasons now why I gave our staff about 7-8 days to say, all right, regroup and come back, because once that Senior Bowl starts now, we got to go, and we really got to coach it, and we've got to find a lot of information out.
How do you coach it when you get all of these guys from all these different programs, and you have essentially a week to get it together?
Yeah, you got limited scheme, you know, offensively and defensively, only a few coverages on defense. So, you know, the idea is a lot of the individual drills, the one-on-one battles they have, offensive line, defensive line, the inside run game, you know, seeing guys get off blocks, the one-on-one with wide receivers and DBs. So you're really, you know, giving them a chance to showcase their talent. And then somehow through the week, you're putting together a team.
And it's a lot of fun because I remember playing in two, the Blue-Gray game and then the East-West Shrine game. And it was a great exposure to meet different coaches from my standpoint as a player. I remember, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Gottfried were my coaches at the East-West game. But the opportunity to compete and compare yourself, not really compare yourself, but to compete against somebody that's, you know, draftable. You know, and so as a coach, I would think that you get to look at individuals that are draftable guys versus, you know, going against other draftable guys. A little bit better evaluation.
Right. Yeah, good versus good.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. You know, and the part that I like about it is they all come down there as individuals. They're really out there to really showcase their talent. And then can they quickly form into a team? You know, can they do that? And you find out, guys, now in a hurry how much they gravitate towards it. And you'll find out on the day of the game, too. I mean, whenever it becomes a competitive situation, you know, guys, they want to do well in that game. So, again, it's just another chance to compete, and you really get a chance to see their competitive spirit.
The game's gained some notoriety over the years. I was down there for the 2009 game when the Jack Del Rio staff coached in it. And I can remember pulling in the parking lot, and there were Bengals fans and Bears fans that were tailgating before practice. I mean, people have really gravitated to this game. The draft has gotten so big, they've now glommed onto this.
Well, I think, you know, really what you put into it, you get out of it as a coaching staff. If you go down there and go, all right, well, we got this opportunity. We got to go coach a bowl game. Let's go through it. You know, then I imagine it can be like that for some staffs. But for our staff, you know, my hopes is we don't look at it that way. And just knowing our staff, we won't. And we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy it. And we can get more accomplished down there in a week than we could with a week of watching tape.
No doubt.
Well, I may have misconstrued it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought the game had really grabbed a hold, and there were people that came down and made it more fun than I think a lot of people thought it would be.
Right. But, you know, sometimes the perception of the coaches. We got to go coach the Senior Bowl. You know, okay, I'd rather be on the sideline watching it. But I think, you know, more and more of the staffs are enjoying it, and they're taking full advantage of it.
Well, now, the flip side is it is a carnival atmosphere because there are so many coaches. It becomes like a coaching convention, and a lot of guys who are putting their staffs together will go down there and interview, and you go in with your staff, as you said, stable, in place. You get to just focus on football.
Right. Yeah, and it's great. You know, that part of it is awesome.
And do you guys get paid?
I'm sure we do. I think in 2006 we did. So I'm not even sure what it is.
Getting paid's always good.
Yeah, it never hurts. Yeah. You'll probably have some people who are watching that game very intently in Jacksonville that weren't before.
Yeah.
From Ladd People Stadium. And I think we mentioned this, but the very first Senior Bowl was here in Jacksonville.
Oh, I did not realize
it was here. Yeah, back in the 50s. Long, long time ago. So, all right, so the Senior Bowl, the Jaguars and the Falcons. We'll take a break and come back. Head coach Gus Bradley is here. You can join us. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351 on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Well, when you visit Jaguars.com, you can check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the Ultimate Jags Game Day Experience. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Gus Bradley with you here. Hey, have you seen the wind chill forecast for Sunday afternoon in Green Bay?
No, I haven't.
Minus 30 wind chill.
Balmy.
Is there any reason? That's why there are empty seats. That's why they haven't sold out. Minus 30.
Wow. I imagine those, you know, they love that atmosphere up there, though. The colder, the better up in Green Bay. Well, especially a team from California coming in and, you know.
How do you get ready for minus 30, especially being from California?
Bring lots of Vaseline.
Well, Alonzo, I imagine, you know, we played in Green Bay one game when I was up in Seattle, and it was cold. But during the game, you know, I know even as a coach, you're into it. You kind of forget about it. I can imagine as a player, once you're playing, you know, I know it's cold, but it's not as unbearable as it is for a fan.
The greatest advancement has been the heated benches. You know, I mean, when I was playing, they didn't have them. I mean, they had those big propane blow heaters that blew along the sideline. And you learn something real quick. You never took your helmet off. But because, you know, as soon as you did, the inside of it with your sweat and everything.
Froze up.
It was frozen. And when you put it back on your head, it was like scraping bricks down the side of your head. But now they have those benches to where they're heated all the way from your feet all the way to your head. And then you can put your helmet on a little heated module that keeps it warm for you to put back on your head. It's not even right.
You could play a couple more years, Logs, doing that now.
No.
Well, a team from California, I mean, how do they get ready for it? Is the Vaseline the thing, or you practice in a freezer somewhere?
Well, and the advancements of the clothing are so different than what they used to be. I mean, remember back in the day, in fact, one of the greatest guys I've ever met in all of football, and I'll never forget it, my rookie year, sitting on my bench in the Jets locker room in 1989, and I was the big first-round pick. And all of a sudden, this guy comes walking up to me, and I didn't recognize him at first. He had on sunglasses, kind of walked a little hunched over, and he walked up to me, and as soon as he opened his mouth, I knew who it was. It was Joe Namath. I mean, he came up, sat down right next to me, talked to me, you know, I mean, 20, 30 minutes, and every time he came, we talked for 20, 30 minutes. But, I mean, back in his day, they were wearing pantyhose.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have anything like Under Armour, you know, for the cold gear and stuff like that.
That's what we wore up in Fargo, you know, when we played. We put on pantyhose on your legs and, you know, on the cold.
Because it blocked the wind.
Yeah. I never did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, I saw some guys do it.
But, you know, Gus, when we talked about games when we were doing your television show this year, even your radio show, we get talking about weather. Yeah, you didn't go very far with the conversation. That wasn't something that you focused on. But when you're dealing with extreme weather like this as a coach, do you have to bring it into play just so guys know what to expect?
Well, I think, you know, like Log said, you've got so much good equipment now, you know, and players got to be smart, and that's what you really rely on your equipment manager for, you know, and you trust him that he'll get the guys outfitted like they do. And, you know, a lot of our guys have a plan already. I know even Cleveland was what? It got in the high 40s, I believe. But our players knew already.
Cold at all.
Yeah, it wasn't cold, but they still already had a plan what they were going to do. So I imagine going into a game like that. You know, most quarterbacks that I've talked to, the cold isn't that as big of a deal as if it's wet. You know, like throwing a wet ball, that's really difficult. Cold, they can deal with that. But some of them, they'll find a way to thrive in that condition.
I'd always rather play in the cold than the heat. Coming from cold, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and then when I was here, no problem going to cold. You just layer up. You know,
yeah.
Except for the running backs, right?
Yeah, except for the running backs, they don't want to wear. You know,
James Stewart found that out the hard way.
Yeah, I've got an issue with that.
We had
a running back in 1996. We were in the AFC Championship game, and he had on neoprene sleeves, but he had the fabric on the outside. And Freeman McNeil, one of the great running backs in Jets history, used to tell me, because he would wear the sleeves turned inside out to where the rubber was on the outside. And I said, why do you do that? And he said, because it grips the ball. If I leave it the other way, then the fabric is slick. Well, I told our running back in 1996 for the game, James Stewart, you know, turn your elbow sleeve inside out. And he didn't, and he fumbled.
Right down the arm, right into the defensive back's hands.
I wasted my breath on that one. But, it's, you know, the cold weather, I love it. I played in 40 below in Buffalo, and that's the coldest game in Buffalo Bills history. And that was AstroTurf, and it was like playing on concrete. Whereas Green Bay, heated field. I mean, most of the cold weather places have heated fields to where they turn it on before the game and it thaws.
And both sides are dealing with it. Right. And you're in a playoff atmosphere, you know, so your adrenaline kicks in. And
did you play indoors at North Dakota State? Or did that come after
I did not. Yeah, it came after me.
Okay.
In the playoffs, with all the different teams and the games coming up this weekend, and you faced a lot of these teams that are in the playoffs, who do you like?
Well, you know, I do like Seattle. I do. I know the mentality of some of those players, you know, and I know how driven they are. So, you know, you can put that aside. But I know those guys really well. Other than that, you know, I do like San Francisco. I think they have that mentality. They've got some veteran players that have been there and have played in big games and know what it's all about. So, and then obviously Denver. Although Denver, you know, you have to have a good defense. You have to have a solid defense, and I think that part of it just is concerning, especially if Denver plays in a bad weather game.
Right.
You know, a climate game where they're not going to score many points, then can their defense hold up? But, you know, in the playoffs, you never know. Look at one of the years I was up in Seattle. We barely made it in 7-9, and New Orleans came in, and you know, we end up beating them.
Shocked
I was up
everyone.
Seattle,
yeah.
You know, so anything can happen in the playoffs, and that's what's so great about it.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. We'll step aside for this quick timeout. When we come back, more with head coach Gus Bradley for the next 30 minutes here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Well, nobody helps you get ready for the playoffs better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you need for your party. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Gus Bradley. Four openings now in the National Football League. You were going through this a year ago.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, you know, it can be hectic.
Especially when you're in the playoffs. Yeah, that's going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because you're really committed to your team, and you talk all year about eliminate distractions and try to get them to play with that clear mind. And now it comes to where it impacts you and could possibly impact your family. And you try to separate as much as you can. I know last year I think there was our first week into the playoffs, four or five teams called. And I know initially I think I said no to all of them. And then it was, you know, Pete Carroll and our GM came to me and said, Gus, these don't come around very often. You've got to look into these. And it can be a distraction now for a coach. But, you know, I know some of these guys that are interviewing now, they have that week off because they've, you know, got the extension. They're not playing for a week. You know, then it's not so bad. But when it's during the year, it's tough.
Can you understand why a guy like Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, would say, I'm not interviewing with anyone? I mean, he's gotten a little criticism for it, much, you know, like you talked about the GM and the coach coming to you. Young guy just said, I don't even want to talk about it until the playoffs come along. Is he hurting himself or helping himself by saying no?
No, I don't think he's hurting himself. And I think that he's probably looking at it a couple of ways. One, he doesn't want to have that to be a distraction for his team. He probably spends a lot of time with Peyton, you know, and Peyton is probably utilizing him a lot and talking to him a lot. But, you know, and then there's a part of it that you said, you know what, when you do go interview, you want to put your best foot forward. And a lot of times, you know, coaches, it's not like that's what they work on in the off season. I'm going to put together my portfolio. I know I never did, you know, and I'm sure Adam Gase probably, that was the last thing on his mind was to put something together. So it just becomes less of a focal point.
I think it'd be hard to be at your best in an interview when your mind is somewhere else. I'm a kind of blinders person. You know, when you get that singularness of purpose, you know, and you're kind of looking ahead. But to have an interview, I mean, how do you be at your best when you've got something looming like a playoff game?
It was really interesting because when we played, when I was in Seattle, we played Atlanta the second game of the playoffs. And one of the NFL teams came down and interviewed me right after our walkthrough on Saturday. And I can remember just going to the interview just with no material and just said, okay, you know, my mind is a little somewhere else,
yeah.
But you can ask me any question you want and you answer it, you know, it comes from your heart. And, it, you know, now it's just like you're having a conversation. But there's no doubt your mind starts to wander about, you know, I got a meeting here at 7 o'clock and you've got about 45 more minutes here of questions.
And in the division, Bill O'Brien got hired to coach the Houston Texans. That's going to provide another, I guess you could say, project for you guys in the offseason, getting to know Bill O'Brien, isn't it?
Yeah, it will. You know, we'll take a look at it, and you get a feel for it. You compete. You try to find out during OTAs or, you know, a lot of times you just try to wait and see who they're going to hire as their coordinators. Who's the offensive coordinator? Who's the defensive coordinator? And you can gather information from that.
Something interesting happened this week. The Atlanta Falcons ended up letting go of their defensive line coach and their offensive line coach. And so they requested of the Minnesota Vikings to interview, I think it's Jeff Davidson, who was the offensive line coach in Minnesota, and they obviously let go of the head coach up there in Minnesota, and Jeff Davidson is under a one-year contract. Is that right? I mean, if you have a team that comes to you and they say, hey, Gus, we want to talk to one of your coaches, and he's under contract, but we want to talk to him for an advanced position as a coordinator, and he's a position coach under you. Would you deny that?
Well, it's, you know, every team has their own philosophy. You know, I think if it's the right situation, you know, most teams, I think, if you have a chance to elevate yourself, you know, if you're an offense line coach, you have a chance to be an offensive coordinator. It is hard, you know, professionally to turn that, you know, that opportunity down for that coach, for him. I think that it also might send a bad message to the other coaches. You know, if he does leave and you got a chance to get a really good quality coach, if he knows coming to your organization, if he has a chance to move up, he can. You know, now it you know, guys are more will gravitate to your organization a little bit more.
You you interview with the Eagles and you interview with the Jaguars, and I've always wondered this because you got those interviews don't last an hour. Yeah, they go on all day.
Right.
Wait, how do they start? What are they looking for? And I'm sure every organization is different, but I mean, when you're talking about bringing someone in to lead your entire organization, where do you begin?
Yeah, it hits all areas. I mean, it might start off from where you're from and tell us about your family. To, you know, do all the way down to who would be your offensive coordinator, who would be your defensive coordinator, who would be your assistant coaches. And what I've seen it is I think that teams are really gravitating more towards they're asking their head coach to really display leadership. I think it's, you know, not so, I mean, a scheme is important, but I think the owners are really looking for somebody that can come in and lead their whole organization. And I think it's been even more of an emphasis on that. So you get quite a few questions dealing with that.
If you were an NFL owner, what would be the number one, two, and three qualities that you would look for in a head coach?
Well, I think leadership is big. I think that, and I think one of the things, because, you know, I get calls from guys that are now going through the process. You know, where they're calling me saying, okay, Gus, you know, do you have any advice? And, you know, I just went through it 1 year. But I think that one thing that's really important that I would look for in an owner is, do you have conviction in your philosophy? Because you are going to be really challenged throughout the year. And I think you'd want to hire somebody that has strong conviction, and it's a conviction that is can withstand any type of pressure. And I think that's what you need to find out with some of these coaches.
You know, as you read, and it's all opinion. I mean, Twitter, Facebook, ESPN, it's all opinion. But people say, well, this is the best job. Well, that's a better job. As a coach, and there's only 32 of them, is there a bad job out there in the NFL?
You know, I think a bad job is depending on the ownership and the GM, you know, in situations like that. Like for me in my interviews, they were all good opportunities. And, you know, the two that I went on. But Jacksonville felt the best to me. And it is nothing against Philadelphia. It's a great job, great opportunity. And I loved it up there. The owner was awesome. The GM was great. But I think that, you know, some people would say, Gus, really, Jacksonville? But it felt really good to me, and I think that was the city, the owner, and the GM.
Well, I do ask that because people did look at Jacksonville and say the roster's thin, the quarterback's unproven. That can't possibly be a good job. But then I see what you've done here and what you're starting to build here as you head into, as you described it, phase two. And I wonder, I mean, is there a bad job? You look at Minnesota. Now, they don't have a quarterback, but they got a new stadium going up there, you know?
Right. It really comes back to, I think, the leadership, the owner and the GM, I think, and the president, obviously. You know, all those factors. Because you are going to go through some challenging times, and how supportive are they going to be?
All right, this is the Gus Bradley Show. We've got a break. We'll take it now. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here with head coach Gus Bradley. We've got him for another 17, 18 minutes, and then we'll check in with him in a couple of weeks. We've talked about the Senior Bowl. We've talked about the coaching jobs that are out there. We've talked about the playoffs. How about your roster?
Yeah.
How, as you look at it, top to bottom, and you said there'll be some turnover on your roster, but not quite as much. Does this roster look better to you now after a year, after you've gotten them through where you are, 246 roster moves?
Right.
I mean, clearly you're trying to put the pieces in place.
Yeah, I think that it clearly has gotten better. I think that we, you know, Dave and the staff did a great job of really competing with the bottom third of the roster. And I think, you know, that bottom third, those are also your backups and your third string guys, you know, on the team. But, they've got to be strong. And that really is makeup of your special teams. So I think, you know, now we have some core guys that we feel good about as starters, and now we just keep going through the draft, you know, add another class here that will help. And, you know, I think what we were the second or third youngest team in the NFL. And
yes.
Part of that was because Brad Meester, probably got it
yeah,
up a little bit.
He skewed it for you.
But, you know, I think it's good. You know, as a coach, too, I don't even know. I can't tell you exactly what all of our players make, and I really don't care. That's for Dave Caldwell to try to decide. And, you know, but for to me, it's were they productive? Did they improve? Did they get better? And do we need that person on our team.
You know, the greatest thing that ever happens with an NFL club is when that bottom third of your roster, all of a sudden, a few guys emerge to become top third players.
Right.
Do you have any of those guys on your roster that could emerge?
Yeah, I think that's our job as a coaching staff is to develop. And as soon as you can get, you know, a guy that's a starter, that's a fourth-round pick, and a starter that's a fifth-round pick, you know, that's when you can really see the team is really making strides. You know, and not only are they starting or playing, but they're really playing at a high level. And I think, boy, if you can get that done through the draft, you're going to make great strides.
Yeah, because there's two guys that come to mind, and they're both pass rushers, which you guys would like to improve upon. One, the defensive end in Carolina, like 15 sacks this year.
Greg Hardy.
I think he was a sixth-round pick. Robert Mathis, what round was he?
Fifth-round pick.
Robert was a fifth-round pick. And, I mean, these are guys that, you know, probably started out as bottom third of your rosters. And now look at these two guys. I mean, probably – two of the best pass rushers in the league, and congratulations to Mathis. He won the Deacon Jones Award, the inaugural one.
Yeah.
And what a great player. It would be nice to have guys like that.
Yeah, that's really when you can do that, because it all fits in with your salary cap. You know, for at least for 3 or 4 years now, you're getting high production out of guys that, you know, compared to others, aren't making the same amount of money. And when you have a roster like that, you know, that young players that are still in their first or second year of their contract, you know, now you can pick up some free agents to really elevate your whole team.
You know, what you said in your news conference on Tuesday morning I thought made a lot of sense, and that is that you will look at your own roster for solutions to issues that you have. In other words, you can't solve them all. Draft and free agency, you can't solve them all, but maybe you could on your team.
Well, I think you owe that to your team first. You know, I think sometimes you look out there and you say, well, the grass is always greener out there. And I think that you really owe it to your team. And, you know, we've been around them. I mean, it's like you talk about the advantage of being at a Senior Bowl for 1 week. Well, we've been with our guys for a year. And we know what they're capable of doing and how fast they, you know, if they're competitive and they love football, they've got a chance to improve. And we really got to, you know, take a really good look at those guys first.
And I think Ace Sanders is the best example of that, right?
Right. You know, and Ace, you know, he started off doing some good things. Then he hit a little bit of a lull. And maybe not production, just mentality. And then right after that, he came out of it and really took off. And that's as a rookie year. And you should see him be even more consistent next year. Now, you know, hopefully we get more competitive around him and even at his position, because all these guys need competition.
Looking at the players, to kind of switch that over to the coaching staff, because when you put together your coaching staff, you didn't know everybody that you hired, right?
Right.
I mean, because, I mean, you can't hire 16 guys and say, hey, I've had an experience or an exposure to every one of them.
Right.
Did any of your coaching staff members surprise you in a positive way that you maybe didn't know enough about, and then you were like, hey, look, we really got somebody?
Can I give you – think about that. We've got to get a break in right here, otherwise we won't be able to finish the show. So think about that.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll get Jeff's question for head coach Gus Bradley here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, so back to your question. You want to restate it?
Yeah, here's the question again. You know, at the beginning of the year, you were able to assemble a staff, and it's your first year as a head coach, and so you're hiring. How many coaches do you have on your staff, the exact number, not counting you? 16 ballpark, 15?
Yeah, probably even a few more.
Yeah, maybe a few more. And so a lot of the people, I mean, perfect example is one of your assistants, Tyler Wolf. I mean, you didn't even know Tyler before
right.
You interviewed him. But looking at your staff and reviewing their performance this year, because, you know, you always review performances, players and coaches as well. Is there one particular coach that you didn't know a lot about but heard good things about that really surprised you with how good of a coach he is this year?
Boy, that's a great question. And how do you do that? You talk about one.
Because,
you know, Dwayne Walker is a guy that I thought is an excellent coach. And I really, you know, his experience. Get Jerry Sullivan, you know, Duff. You know, there's so many. And Bob, you know, I think it goes on.
I mean,
yeah.
You had a lot of experience with Bob.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing that I look back at and was really good advice, it didn't come from me, but when I talked to these coaches about the hiring phase, they really challenged me to take my time. They said, take your time and make sure there's a lot of good coaches out there, but you're looking for good people and good teachers. And so I made a lot of phone calls. If I, it wasn't like, okay, I heard this guy's a good coach, I'm going to bring him in. There was a lot of phone calls, a lot of things that went into this just because I felt like, okay, if I get good teachers and good people, then, you know, if there is some challenging times, I know they're going to be the good teachers or the good coaches will be there. But I think so many times in the NFL where guys come in the struggles is if the coaches are full of distractions, if they start concerning themselves with, oh, God, we've lost a couple games or we won a couple, and they get caught up in the distractions, all of a sudden they're not the same coach that they were maybe at the beginning or at, as they were in OTAs. So I think the challenge for me was to say, all right, if I can eliminate those distractions, I know they're going to be good coaches. To coach at this level, for the most part, they are. So I think if I provide that environment, will these guys even flourish even more? And they have. They really have. I mean, if you look at all the positions, look at a guy like George Yarno, you know, offensive line coach. You know, we lose a couple tackles. And you look at Cam Bradfield and Austin Pastor, and they improved greatly during the year. And that's what we're looking for. We want to provide an environment where coaches can really focus on developing players and get them to be their best. And I think a lot of our groups, that's what took place.
It's funny, the first name out of your mouth was Dwayne Walker. And Dwayne Walker probably came in and said, hey, you know, was asking you about personnel. Because, I mean, a lot of coaches want to know, who am I going to be coaching? And he comes into the door, and with the exception of D'Lo, who ended up getting released, he was going to be dealing with a room that was all young players, and what a challenge for him.
It really is. And I think, you know, I knew that that was going to take place there, that we were going to have some young players. So you really look for a coach that has some wisdom, has been through some challenges. I mean, D-Walk was, you know, coached in the NFL for Washington and New England, and then he was a head coach at New Mexico State, defensive coordinator at UCLA. So has a lot of skills that would be needed in that room.
Do you realize, I'm just looking through this, it hasn't been since the 95-96 season that there has been stability in the coaching ranks. In other words, from the 95 season to 96, no one left. After 96, Nick Nicolau retired, Kevin Gilbride left. And by the way, Kevin Gilbride announced his retirement today. Congratulations to Kevin and his family on a long career in the NFL. It's been that long since stability has been in this building. So something to look forward to, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
One final break, and we're back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. About a minute and a half left here in this Gus Bradley show. It'll be Jeff and I and Tony next week, and then 2 weeks from tonight, I think we'll have you back in, and then 3 weeks from tonight, I think maybe we'll catch up with you on the phone briefly from Mobile. So, boy, time just flies. All of a sudden, we're talking about being at the end of January schedule-wise.
Yeah, I know. It will go fast. This whole off season, before we know it, we're getting into, you know, the guys are back in April 21st, I believe, and, you know, it'll take off.
Draft is... what, 2 weeks later this year?
Yeah. May 9th, I think it is. For,
I think
8th, 9th, round.
Yeah, something like that. Is that a benefit, or would you rather have it moved up?
Well, we'll see. You know, I know, I think Dave, just talking to him a little bit, he doesn't mind it. I think, you know, another week or whatever it is from last year. So, you know, I think what you'll see it is, I think normally when you go through OTAs and mini camps, you can go on the Memorial Week. You might be able to take a week where you don't have an OTA week or a mini camp week, and you kind of give them a little bit of a break. But now you're probably going to be going straight through, you know, up until June 21st.
Everything's going to get kind of condensed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's all right. I mean, that's kind of been, I guess you could say, the rave.
Yeah.
Everything's been kind of condensed anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, have a good week next week.
Yeah,
and we'll
you
talk
too.
To you too.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Head coach Gus Bradley joining us here on the Gus Bradley Show. For those of you in Jacksonville or in the internet, Baselli and Brunel are in next for Jaguars Thursday. Have a great night, everybody.